Let me invite you to just allow your eyes to close if they aren't already. Just take a few nice deep breaths. Just allowing yourself to slow, to settle, to arrive. Maybe connect in to the experience of breathing in and breathing out, the felt experience in your body. To breathe in and know that you're breathing in. To breathe out and to know that you're breathing out. To know that you're being held to the earth by gravity, supported by the chair you're sitting in. And then just allowing your thoughts to just drift inside, and maybe the words that we've just been listening to, I am love, I am peace, just to notice how those words sit and land. Maybe noticing if there's any thought or any sense that might be a distraction to that. And again, without trying to fix it or change it, can you just hold it, whatever's here for you today, in love and in peace? You see, we're always involved in some kind of journey back home to our heart, where love is, where peace is. So just allowing that journey for you to be here right now, just as it is. And then gradually, again, allowing your awareness to come back to your breath, back to the sounds Maybe the smells, maybe the awareness of others around you. And then as you're ready, gently opening your eyes. Is it okay if I sit today? I'd like to. Would you indulge me if I sit? I just feel like I want to sit today. Yeah, yeah, thank you, thank you. Yeah, it's good to be reminded that we are whole, we are love, we are peace. That's what it means to heal. I think of healing as wholing, where parts of ourselves that have been maybe fragmented, forgotten, lost, or hidden, just come back into our own loving, compassionate, gracious consciousness and awareness. So it's good. Thank you. Thank you, Gwen. I just want to spotlight a couple of things that are coming up here. So Thursday at 10 o'clock, I'm really excited to be hosting this workshop about Mary Magdalene. And so if you're interested in doing that, you can either email me with your email address or just give me a piece of paper with your name and email on it, and we're going to do it over Zoom. And I'm really looking excited to this. And I just want to, this is going to sound really weird because I know I'm in Idaho, okay? But I want to just ask some of you men to be open to this. I know, like, I'm a dude. What in the world am I doing coming to a divine feminine workshop? I'll just tell you, something that's been so helpful for me is discovering that my masculine strength comes through the feminine that's in me. All of us entered this world through some form of a birth canal, and metaphysically, spiritually, it all makes sense. So I just want to put that out there. And then Friday, our beach social. I'm really, really looking forward to that. Yesterday, I rode my bike along the NIC beach. It's really big and long. So you may be wondering, where are we going to meet? There's a little grassy area next to a volleyball court, kind of on the, I guess it would be the eastern side of it. And we're going there because it's the most easily accessible place. And so if you just drive along there and see, you know, you'll see us there. The only agenda is food, so bring something to eat that we can all share, and a beverage, and we're just going to hang out and enjoy the day. I don't think it's going to be too terribly hot this Friday, you know, but if it is, you do you, take care of you and everything. But I'm just, I'm really looking forward to, again, just having a time for us to be here, and then maybe, you know, if you have a friend or a neighbor or somebody, you know, just bring them with you and let it be. Last month we did it. We had the Pollinators Band right out there on the thing, and I was really pleased at the number of us that showed up and the number of not us or not normally us who came to be a part of it. And so that's what these little gatherings are intended to. So thank you for that. And also, we're just in a kind of a little season of transition. It seems like summer just began, but I think it's starting to wind down for some of us, isn't it? You know, and I'm certainly feeling that. And so, what I'm going to be doing in the Sunday messages between now and the end of September is doing a series of messages called "Living Our Unity Values Forward," living unity forward. And my intention and my hope is that this will be a time for you individually and for us as a community to just reflect on where we've been. In October, it will be 1 year since I've been here. And and just as a side note, September 1st, I'll be turning 60. And so I was thinking to myself last night, how cool to be turning 60 in Coeur d'Alene. How cool am I? How blessed am I to do that? And so We'll see how turning 60 turns out North Idaho style. But I'm really excited and looking forward to it. But you know, in this first year, I've told the board and I've told you, it's not been my intention to do or change or start or stop anything, but just to conduct ourselves, you know, community as usual, and give me a chance to get to know this, and to give you a chance to get to know me, and not do anything. But you know, as we wind down summer and come up on this year, I think it's good for us to just reflect, you know, what is ours to do, what is ours to be, and I hope that this can be a deeply personal and spiritual journey for you, because it is for me. The question of living into what is mine to do involves two things. It involves welcoming in that sense of what is mine to do, but it also involves, and this is sometimes the toughest, what is mine to let go? You see, it's a dynamic process. And just as in our personal lives, what brought us here may not get us here, I think the same can be true of us as a community. What got us here may not be what carries us forward. Have any of you who retired? Approaching retirement? Okay, all right. You see, there's this egoic self and true self that's a part of who we are. In the first part of our life, we live in our egoic self. We get jobs, we do stuff, and all of that. But as we start to move toward the sunset years of our life and retire, I know for many people, it's difficult. We don't realize how deeply embedded we are to what we've done. And you know, again, I'm turning 60, so it's kind of weird because in some circles, being 60s, I'm the old guy, and in other circles, it's like, oh, he's such a kid, you know. But as I just look at my life, I don't intend to retire if retirement means going to some, you know, golf course community and playing golf and playing pickleball and traveling and all that kind of stuff. As much as I enjoy doing that stuff, I intend to, God and Spirit willing, to just continue to offer, you know, a finer pencil point on the contribution of my life to this world, and to keep doing that. And I hope that the same can be true for you. But again, these are personal questions for all of us to ask. And so that's my intention for now through the end of September. And then in October, I'm going to do a series of four messages on thriving in abundance. And I'll just tell you right now, it's going to be some of it about money. Some of you aren't going to like it, and you're going to write me letters. Why is James talking about money and this, that, and the other thing? Okay, but we're doing that because I want to create a little bit more space for us as we plan financially for 2027. And so what we're going to be doing in the month of October is asking and inviting those of you who are interested and willing to make an annual pledge for next year. That'll give our finance team and our board a chance to write a budget for next year that we can give to you in January of 2027 so that you can have 6 weeks to look at it, ask questions, pick it apart, tear it apart, whatever. And then when we come together in February, be able to joyfully and unanimously just approve it and move on into the next year. So that's just a little bit of where we're going. All right? So hope that's clear. Something very special happened yesterday that impacted me profoundly, and I know it did some of you. We celebrated the memorial of Julie's, and you're here today. Bless you. Julie's mother, Betty. And it was just such a sweet service. You know, I wasn't blessed with having known her a long time, and yet it's kind of weird. I feel like I know her well. I mean, I know you, and so you have her spirit. And one of the things that was talked about was her love, her fierce love, and her directness. You know, she told it like it is. And I just have to tell you that animates that part of me. there's a fierceness to my love, and some of the things that I want to share with you today are coming from that place. And again, know that they're coming from a place of fierce love that just wants nothing but the best for you and nothing but the best for us. And so it's interesting, you know, when somebody is lost, the impact of their life is known differently. And I think it's, you know, Betty's fierceness and directness for those that knew her and her close were sometimes hard to deal with when she was here, you know, but now that her body isn't here, but her essence and her spirit is, it's like, oh, wow, there's an appreciation of it. In the Aramaic, death means to exist elsewhere. So the body may be gone, but the spirit and the essence still remain. And so that ties back to everything that I'm talking about here today. So I'll get this back here to where we're going. But a couple weeks ago, I had a chance to attend a conference at the University of British Columbia in Vancouver, BC, with a few friends of mine. It was about the three principles. The three principles were started back in the 70s by a gentleman named Sidney Banks. Sidney was an iron worker from Scotland, and at the time, he had been married 11 years to his wife, and they were going through a rough spot in their marriage. And so in counseling, one of the things that they were working on was his insecurity. And one day in one of the sessions, the counselor made what was just a passing comment saying, "Sidney, you're not insecure, you just think you're insecure." And that statement became a watershed moment for him that took him on a 3-day spiritual journey of meeting God, meeting the universe, and meeting life. And from that experience, he's offered three principles to life that at the time shook the modern psychological world, you know, which is all about kind of going inside and digging around and finding what's wrong and pathologizing and whatever. No, there were three things. So I just want to share them with you because I hope that as we talk today and over these next few weeks, you can have these as a little anchor. But the first principle is consciousness being our awareness, okay? The second one is thought being connected to our creativity. And then the third one is mind being the power that creates our reality. And these are things that we talk about here at Unity, the way that our thoughts, the way that our mind creates the reality that we experience. And I know for some of us and for many of us it might be really, come on, James, but I want to just invite you to see if you can be open to this and to consider the way that your thought creates the reality that you experience. And what that means is then you and I have complete and total agency and total power. If you think, oh, I've got no control over my life, that's like giving away your blessed, sacred power as a divine being of being here. One of the things that we talked about was before every thought, there is a place called home. Before every thought, there is a place called home. So the practice here is to just notice what it's like to just be in that place of stillness, the space in between thoughts, and to see that as your home. I want to just do a little, if this was a workshop, we'd have more time to do this here, but I just want to invite you to do something right now. Take a moment and just take a look around you. Take a look at the people. Take a look at the building. Take a look at the lights. Take a look at the land. Just look around. You don't have to say anything. But then now as you do that, I want to just invite you to just drop into your body. What do you notice in your body? How does it feel to take in what's here? And maybe just notice your thoughts and your feelings. And as you do that, remember this. You don't need to know the way. The way knows the way. So trust the way. Say it again. You don't need, and I don't need to know the way. The way knows the way. Trust the way. And so from this place, may we watch, and as you look around and take in what's going around you, watch and listen for things that are shifting. Life is shifting. And here's some things that I think are shifting. We're shifting from a relationship with one another and this land, from management and stewardship to relationship and kinship, from extraction and growth to sustainability, abundance, and thriving. If you were here last week, my friend Sport and I shared the message, and we had just come back from a weekend of camping up in Montana, and he asked me if there was a part of me that I met or came in contact with while I was up there, and if you remember, I said I didn't know. But I want to share with you this week, Friday, in my session with my therapist, who I've been seeing for 5 years, and he's, I think, the best on the planet, I met a part of me that I didn't know was inside, and it was related to the land. This land, this place, has given me a gift of belonging. A gift of belonging just as I am. And I've been playing with that, because I'm here still as a Washington resident. And just dealing with your relationship with that and my relationship with that, you know. Is my belonging tied to the license plate that I have on my car? Or the driver's license that I carry around? Or a piece of paper that says I own something? I'm just going to remind all of us here, if we wind back the clock 500 years, which is not even a nanosecond in universal time, we weren't here as white people. We came and we planted ourselves here. You could say we took it. You could say we welcomed it. And I'm not here to shame anybody or anything, but that's just part of the fact. But to notice the things that we think we need to tie our sense of belonging to, you know, a piece of paper that says I own a home, which I don't. I sold my home when I left the church 9 years ago, so I've been a renter, you know. But I have to tell you something. This place has given me a sense of belonging here just as I am. And that sense of belonging has involved shedding some things that falsely connect me or don't connect me here. And in my session with my therapist, I noticed grief came up when I thought about how much I love this land. Grief at the thought of losing it. And again, in my sessions, my therapist just makes space for grief. This is, you know, as we think of death and loss, my friends, I want to encourage you to allow grief, to develop an apprenticeship with it. We sometimes think grief is something we have to overcome, we have to transmit, we have to figure it out, we've got to work through it. No. Grief can be your best friend and your sacred teacher. And as I moved toward a grief in my heart that was very, very painful, I felt the love, I felt the witnessing, and I felt the holding of this land just come into me. And I couldn't cry. I tried. I was trying really hard, but I couldn't. There was a stillness and a peace that I have never experienced before. Amen. And in talking about it afterwards, you know, Healing our relationship with the land may be our deepest psychological need. Regardless of what you think about where we came from, we are all here made of stuff of this planet. I was talking with Maribel before the service. I don't know if you noticed, but there's a couple of fawns sitting out on the land out here. What a picture of how two animals can come and just settle right out there with whatever level of awareness or thought of what's happening in here, you know? What a blessed thing. But my encouragement to you, as you think about what is mine to do, what is ours to do as a community, is to see if you can start with that place of belonging. Belonging first and foremost to this planet and to this land. And then from that place, begin to be open to, okay, what is mine to do? Now, as you go along the way, ask yourself this, is this the feeling I want? Is this the feeling I want? As you look around this building, do you notice things about the condition of the land, the condition of the building, the condition of our parking lot, the age of the building, you know? And do you have feelings associated with that? Ask yourself, is this the feeling I want? Now, you may say to yourself, no, I don't want this feeling. You know, I want the land to look different. I want the building to look different. I want the signage to look different, you know, all that kind of stuff. Here's the key. Can you be radically curious about that? Don't pathologize it. Don't say, but if you notice something resistant, resistance is a clue that there may be something to explore. Something about yourself. Something to know and love. And usually that resistance is connected to some kind of longing, a desire. And here's the nugget. What we long for longs for us. So if you notice yourself feeling a little uncomfortable about how things are or things that could be different, I want to ask you to honor it and to own it. Because if you don't honor and own it, you'll project it onto someone or something else, and that someone or something else becomes the problem. And when you do that, you give away your agency and your choice as a beloved being. And when you can come from that place of vulnerability and longing, then you know what happens? We start to connect because we realize we all want the same thing, which is love, meaning, purpose, and belonging. After the service yesterday, just so you can see how this works in my life, I just wanted to have some time alone. I've been intentionally trying to be alone and just kind of getting back here. And so after the service, I was invited out with the family, but I chose instead to go to the Kootenai County Fairgrounds and just walk and just take in the North Idaho Fair. And then I went to the to Tubbs Hill to watch the sunset, and then I told you I was drinking it in. Some of you asked, what were you drinking, James? So after the sunset, I took a little gander over to the Iron Horse and had a beer there, and I just go there to people watch and to just see what's going on. And then as I was walking home, I walked past this new restaurant called River and Rye, which is on Sherman, I think between 4th and 5th or 5th and 6th. I don't know where it is. Someone said, just go in there. And so I went in there, and it had just been recently opened, and met the owners. Now, this is where it just gets interesting. The owners were the former owners of one of my favorite restaurants back in Seattle, in Kirkland, where I lived.
Wow.
Yeah, Bottle and Bowl in Kirkland. Yeah, Bottle and Bowl. It was one of my favorites, just right down the hill from where I lived. And I was just like, are you kidding? And it was just like, wow. I had a Manhattan, the best Manhattan I've had since I've been here. I mean, they know how to cater to my taste, okay? But just so you understand, I'm gonna be really raw and honest with you here. You know, the owner, I had a chance to meet them. They went to the University of Washington. So I had a chance, whip out my Husky card and do that. And we just started reflecting on, you know, life in Seattle. And then that part of me came up, you know, where I just had to say, you know, I occasionally bump into people here who, when I say I'm from, it happened on Friday at the gym I work out with. There's five guys there. Two of them are from Seattle. I said, oh, I could never go back to that place. There's so much graffiti. There's so much homelessness. It's in such disrepair. It's chaos. You know, and I'm like, hi. I quite love it there. Is that okay? You know, and when I bump up against, you know, people who are here because they don't like where they came from, you know, I notice that it triggers something in me. I can make it all about people and, you know, what I think they need to go and process through or whatever. But what I realize is maybe there's something in me, you know, that I need to heal. Can I love here the same way that I love there? Yeah, maybe I'm polyamorous. You know? Yeah? I can love here and love there at the same time. Okay? But but here I was, you know, talking it through. You know, I was just lamenting about, oh yeah, it seems like when I tell people I'm from Seattle, it's just like, you must be so happy to get out of there, or I'm going to come here as some kind of liberal communist and change Idaho. It's like if I could do that. And then this sweet couple, and this is what I'm noticing, this sweet couple who was sitting next to me at the bar, lived here 20 years, they just engaged me and loved me and welcomed me. It didn't get all weird in spite of the very immature attitude that I was displaying in doing that, you know. And I just thought, James, you know, you're still a work in progress too. I share that with you just because whatever those sticky places are for you, and you know where they are, the invitation here is to, again, ask yourself, is this the feeling I want? And what can I do to change it? And here's the hack. Maybe the one thing that you can do to change it is to stop resisting it, but to just get very, very curious. What do I want? What do I desire? What do I long for? In my heart, it's that sense of belonging, connection, family. And what this land gave to me is the sense that anywhere I go, whether I'm physically here or not here, the spirit of North Idaho is in me. Yeah. I love it. And it's in you as well as other places you've been. So maybe the shift is, instead of looking at the world and seeing what's wrong with it, may I see what's right with the world. Maybe it's a little prayer. Instead of looking for what's wrong at the world, look at what's right in the world. Do I see graffiti and homelessness and disrepair, tent cities in Seattle? Uh-huh. And I love it. I see humanity there. You know, my brothers and I this week talked about, you know, James, if you had a house, would you want people to have graffiti on it? Would I keep it in disrepair and this, that, and the other thing? You know, probably not. That's a fair question. But I am present to the judgment that I make. That, well, if one city is dirty and unkept, they must not care. And if another city is cleaned up and spick and span, oh, they must care. That's just a judgment, my friends. You know, and maybe the sense of disrepair is our own city just coming with a sense of belonging to it. You know, I had a guy tell me the other day, oh, yeah, there's a lot of homeless people in Seattle. And I said, yeah, there's a lot of humans in Seattle. And they said, yeah, well, and there's homeless people here, too. You know, I think they just live on the outskirts, out of sight, out of mind. But folks, this is the real world. And the question is, you know, can I see what's right, not what's wrong? And as you do this, here's a little prayer that we'll end with today. May my wounds, lead to wonder. As you think about the wounds in your life, the things that you've gone through in your life, can you meet it with love and curiosity and allow it to take you to a place of wonder and awe? And then could that wonder lead to wisdom? Our wounds, my friends, are the source of our wisdom. So allow that wonder to lead you to wisdom. And then may my wisdom lead to what is mine to do in the world. And I ask that just the same for us as a spiritual community. May our collective wisdom lead us to what we are to be in this world today. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Thank you for listening. Ooh, 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 ooh.
Bring in the dawn for humankind. Swing wide the doors of this heart of mine.
Here we go now.
It's about comfort and smiles. It's about love. It's about kindness. It's about hearts open wide. It's about love. It's about passion. It's about taking a chance. It's about love. It's about service. It's about lending a hand. About lending a hand. Swing wide the doors. The time is right. Swing wide the doors. It's about comfort and smiles. It's about love. It's about kindness. It's about hearts open wide. It's about love. It's about passion. It's about taking a chance. It's about love. It's about service. It's about lending a hand. It's about love. It's about service. It's about lending a hand. About lending a hand. Swing wide the doors. Time is right. Swing wide the doors to let in the light. Let in the light. Humankind. Swing wide the doors of this heart of mine.
Here we go now.
Let in the light, let in the light. Humankind, swing wide the doors of this heart of mine. Swing wide the doors of this heart.